Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to the 101st episode of Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat. And, today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
I just thought you were going to come in. Look, it's 100 episodes. Well, you should just get in there.
Listen, I know what's going on, but we got to flow. We got to ebb and flow.
That was flow.
Wait for my cue. Wait for my cue.
Don't have to wait for a cue anymore. What is that? It's ridiculous. Okay. Yes, I have cracked open a beer, and I have downed a half of it right now. So, yes, it's going to be one of those episodes.
Drunk cast, party time.
Oh, just beer cast. That's just nothing. I mean, anyway, Today we kind of had an impromptu availability, and Carl's here. I'm here. We're just going to do Transformers and Torchwood. I know I promised there was going to be, you know, other episodes and blah, but I have him here right now. I have to dig for him. So we're just going to do it.
Why are you doing me like that? Come on. Yeah, I'm always around. I'm always around.
Yeah, dude. So we're just going to let him believe that. And we're going to talk about the... I saw... what is it now? 3 weeks this movie's been out?
2 weeks. Okay. I think it's 2 weeks, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I just saw it yesterday.
A slacker. You are slacking, and, girl.
In 3D.
You are, yes, I did too. Oh, good, good.
I thought that was going to... See, I didn't go in with the high expectations. I saw one, I really liked it. I saw two, I liked that as well, bought the DVD. I went into this one just like, yeah, you know, whatever. And wow, I have to say that I did not enjoy this third movie at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well... Not as much as I enjoyed the other ones. There were funny spots. I thought they did things that were technically harder, like the spinning, digging snake type transformer. What is that, sound wave they said it was, or who was it?
Shockwave.
Shockwave.
It was like sidekick of Shockwave, though, because it was Shockwave and then his octopus pal. So
the octopus was not Shockwave. The octopus rotating building cruncher thing. What was that?
I thought that was separate from him. So I don't know what it is.
I thought it was part of him, because every time it sound or Shockwave and blah blah, and then that thing would pop up. So I thought it was him, and so I didn't know. And that just really tells you, like, okay. Like, if you haven't picked up on it already, you know, I know Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and that's it, and Jazz, you know, and I'm done. So, hopping from the first movie to second movie, we had people in that were completely dropped from the first. Number one, Megan Fox. Number two, what was the cute Hispanic kid that was a hacker that he met in college?
Nowhere
to be found. I loved it. I love that guy. I miss him. You know, I don't mind getting somebody new with the new lady. I don't know whether her name was Angel or Cameron or Carly or what. He kept calling her several different names, so I never figured out what her name was.
It's supposed to have been Carly.
Okay,
which
good.
Which is ironic because, you know, you got cars in the movie and her name is Carly.
Yeah, I'm going to go that you're stretching on. So the thing with Megan Fox and Witwicky was that we got to see them meet each other. We got to see them fall in love. We got the will they, won't they thing going on. You know, we got to grow with them in the past two movies. And then all of a sudden we have this person that's unbelievable to be Witwicky's girlfriend. Like, I just don't believe it at all. She's just like, she has to be like, I don't believe that he'd get a girl like that. So it just felt unrealistic. Their chemistry was just, I mean, yeah, Megan Fox was hot, but she was like down on level with, like, you know, tech heads and gear heads or whatever. She could put her hands on something. She didn't mind getting her hands dirty. You know, she was salt of the earth, like the Witwickies and whatever. And this other lady, she was foreign. She had all this stuff going on. She wore great shoes, great clothes, loved all that, beautiful. But it was just like, what? Who are you? And you're talking. And she talked. She had a dialogue with Megatron. and I was just like, what is this? Why is she talking? And then they were talking to the army, and I was like, she got in and said some other stuff like she was a tech head and knew something technical or she no, why? Ugh, just run, make your boobs flop up, show some leg, don't speak, because it was ridiculous. And I'm like a womanizer now, but I'm going to take a break and I'm going to let you speak, because that's not even like all of my problems with Transformers, but and those were just the little whatever. So you go ahead, take over for a while I drink this beer.
All right. The movie is about giant robots, technology, extraterrestrial intelligence. I said, okay, I saw it once. And when I walked out of the theater, my first reaction was, that is the biggest mess that I have ever seen. And I couldn't believe it. I said, no. I was struggling. And when you're in a position like that, you're going, okay, maybe I missed something. Maybe I was tired when I went in there.
I was depressed. I was like, maybe I'm not feeling that great today. I mean,
so just a day and a half later, I went back to see it again. I was like, I must have missed something. There's got to have been something, a detail, or I just wasn't feeling right. And so I went in to see it again. And it only reaffirmed. It reaffirmed my sense of an absentness in Transformers 3. Now, everybody said, even Bay was talking about Transformers 2 kind of sucked. My bad. 3 is going to be the bigger one. 3, I'm apologizing for 2. This is going to be even better. Even better.
You sure did
now,
say
I,
that,
I kind of like, I was like, I liked the first one. You know, I did not think it was a cinematic 2-4. I just thought it was so good to see my cartoon heroes come to life. So I was dazzled by the technology. I wasn't a big Shia fan, but he wasn't, you know, what the movie was about. I really enjoyed, you know, seeing the colors and the light and the clanking robot. The second one, you could tell that he was advancing the technology. Yep. I felt a little something when Optimus went down in the second one. You know, of course, I knew he was coming back, but even still, I was like, okay, as messy as that one was, I felt a sense of connection with a lot of the characters. I didn't realize that I was valuing the relationship between, you know, Shia and Megan Fox. But it's true. We got to see what they had sort of grow and evolve between the first two movies. And that had a thread of connectedness in terms of me connecting with the few humans that are profiled in the film. So when we hit the third one, and it seemed like I did not really care about any of the good old humans that had come in. And I'll qualify that. The first question you may ask is, who is Sam Witwicky? All right, and it's a ridiculous question to ask, but think about it now. All that we have seen about Witwicky throughout all three movies, what, you know, okay, here you go, here's my
question. Why does he exist in the movies at all, and why is he so special? Is that where you're getting at?
What's his motivation? You know what, I want to know the real Sam Witwicky. As dumb as that sounds, I know it's a Bay film, people, I know it's like, but seriously, I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, so now he's unemployed. He's living in his girlfriend's
loft. Wasn't it depressing? It was depressing.
You know, he's got his award. I had no sense of you know, rooting for him, feeling bad for him. It was just like, I could not connect at all with him. And I was not a big fan, you know, throughout the other movies. This time, combined with the fact that I had no idea what his purpose was in this film, his kind of snarkiness just seemed even worse in this movie.
It was like misplaced or something. He was like Tom Cruise jumping on the couch or something. It was weird. It was like, what are you? Why are we here? What are we doing? I don't understand.
Yeah, just even more unlikable in this movie. And so I tried to look past that. You know, I was checking out his girl. Yeah, she's fine and everything. But I was actually missing Megan Fox. Yeah. Right now, if you could see, can you imagine the horror? I mean, I agree that Megan, she may not have been the best actress.
But she was made for the Michael Bay film.
To try to put this What do we want to call her?
I don't know. I didn't understand her face. I didn't understand her accent. I didn't understand. Like, I would want her to walk my clothes on a runway, right? I make a dress. Girl, get on the runway and walk it. In my movie speaking, no. No. Because I don't understand you. She wasn't a techie. She was, like, maybe an aide in the White House, which means... I don't know. I think Amanda Lewinsky, or I can't even say her name anymore. But you know, I just like, what is your purpose? Then she works for a car dealership, or I don't even know what that is.
International mobile guy.
It was like international mobile, blah, blah, blah. Because it's like, well, I don't even understand. And my father had a client, and that client was Megatron, and we blah, blah. Like, what? Are you kidding me? You sound stupid.
So. I did qualify it. When I say I did not care that much about the characters, there was a flicker of hope in terms of the people in the story. You know where I'm going with this. It's obvious. You watch the movie. You're watching at least a good 20 minutes of it. And generally not caring at all about the humans. I mean, you know, the parents came in. They were kind of crass. The girlfriend showed up. She was cute, but I wasn't feeling a connection. With Wiki was a pain. You know, he was complaining and all snarky. Until we get John Malkovich sliding in there. Now, what's bad is, You recognize there's something wrong with the film. You're watching it and you're like, God, there's something. And it's that you don't care about anybody in this film. And then comes Malkovich. Now, he is hilarious in this film. Right? His character is just this little flicker. And like I said, of course, he's underutilized. There's not much of him in there. But when he gets on the screen and he starts to talk, suddenly you recognize what was missing prior to him being on the screen. You're like, people, they are interesting people in this film. It'd be the snarky boss, his psychotic, as usual, you know, it's Malkovich. He's always rocking that kind of thing going on. So it started with Malkovich. I was like, oh, okay, now I'm feeling a little bit better, you know. But of course, they snatched him away.
But no, and with the Malkovich scene, you also had two guest appearances from the Geek Nerds from Chuck. Then you had the guy from Community.
Now, that is what I want to talk about next.
Yeah, it was...
Was that not the saddest underuse of Chang that you have ever seen?
It was weird. I mean, he was, like, doing all this stuff. And then, of course, we have to see an ass shot of him because he always has to take his clothes off for some reason. I don't know what this guy's doing. But he's hilarious. But Chang, and then he died. But I just, like... What is happening in this movie? That's when I knew that the movie became a wreck because I didn't understand what's going on. Because first, let me start my little rolling. First, we start off with this space nostalgia. Now, I just watched the whole day of Atlantis and the last launch into space. So I'm already depressed about space and us, you know. I'm depressed. I'm watching it. It's the last one. Godspeed, Atlantis. And so we enter this movie and we see this whole space reminiscent thing. And I'm like, why is this here in this movie? That could have been handled with like five sentences of dialogue. We didn't have to see JFK footage and then a cast of an actual character of JFK. They looked nothing like the JFK that they just shown and then they did a Nixon and then they had to cast a guy as Nixon. Meanwhile, splitting back footage of Nixon at the same time. And I just didn't understand why we were doing all this romantic, I don't know, view of space or whatever we were doing. And I just, it's like, what are we doing here? That's 20 minutes added to the film that, you know, in theory is good. We know you like space. That's great. Or you want to make us feel like you like space. But it was just so unnecessary. And by the end of the film, I was checking my watch because I wanted the thing to end. It was just too long. It was just too much. It had too much crap in there. I mean, why didn't we have like a transform into a sink at one point, a kitchen sink? I'm sure there was a kitchen sink in that motherfucker at some point because it was just they threw everything in that.
You could say Transformers 3 had twice the effects and half the story of any of the other ones.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna give you something else. I totally agree with what you said. There were some nuggets in terms of what could have been. You could have made like three movies with the stories that they wove in here. Okay, think about it now. the whole concept of the moon landing being fake, well, excuse me, not fake, the moon landing being a cover for some sort of extraterrestrial, you know, technology.
That's fun. Yeah,
that,
that's fun.
That by itself, all right, that you could have blown out to be a whole movie right there, okay? I got another one. The Chernobyl explosion being the destruction of an alien. That by itself, again, you could have made a whole movie just around that and made something kind of halfway decent.
They pissed it away.
Both of those things, because I am totally with you. I was not only, you know, are we coming up on the anniversary of the moon landing, first moon landing. We've got the Atlantis launch going on. I really do have a respect and a sentimental connection for the U.S. space program. And, oh, my, if you're going to do it, or if you're going to put it in the story, then you gotta respect the material that you're putting in there. Okay, so look, we got the Apollo stuff going on there. We got a cameo from Buzz Aldrin
right? I clapped.
Now, well, yeah, but come on.
It was a little ridiculous.
Do you think Buzz looked back and said, yeah, that was a good idea? Because, all right, so you got Buzz Aldrin in here. You got the moon landing footage and all of that reproduction stuff, which, you know, was pretty. And I was kind of okay. Maybe if they really made it more significant to the story, that would have felt a little bit better. But okay, Kat, here's where I was about to walk out. Right, here's where I'm about to walk
out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow. Walking out?
No. Look, I sat through the redux of the Apollo mission. I smiled when Optimus, you know, saluted Buzz Aldrin. You know, oh, you, here's to you, fellow straight. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's all right. But when they did the shuttle explosion,
that two Challenger,
that
was a little
shocker.
Like, yeah,
I tried to be cool with the disrespect of the space program and the strong connection with all that stuff. You cannot co-opt the emotional connection that people have, not just with the space program, but with the Challenger explosion, on something as poorly done. No, it was just, I mean, you even saw the little streams of the shuttle start, you know, falling out of the Florida sky.
But that was towards the end, and at that point, I quit caring. I quit caring by that point, so I did connect. I was like, oh, that's a little Challenger, but you know what? I'm ready to go. I don't care.
Oh, that was it. So that was really bothering me. I said, this is just getting perverse at this point, because it's like, all of the stuff that he crammed into the movie was trying to connect, was trying to spark some kind of an emotional response from you. But they were always so shabbily done. It was just so cheap. And it just, all right, so there was no emotional connection. All right, now, so.
Number three.
Let's get back to the humans in here, okay? There were only two other humans in this film that I really, really kind of cared for. And you know who they were. It was Totoro and his sidekick, Tunic. Wash.
Oh, yeah, that's Wash from Firefly.
Wash,
so hilarious.
Turo, those two, like I said, nobody else, none of the other humans in this film. And like I said, you're watching it and you don't recognize what's missing until you get Totoro, you get Tunic, and you get Malkovich on the screen. And then suddenly you're like, wow, this is what, you know, this is the seasoning that should be in this film. And of course, unfortunately, it's like a combined 90 seconds of those guys in the whole film, So once they're gone, then you're back to the clanking robots and you can't tell who's who and the fight scenes
it was horrible. And so you're speaking of Turo and Alan Tudyk. Alan Tudyk, I didn't even know he had that particular accent.
Man, that was
great. Just hilarious. I didn't expect him to be there. I wanted more of him all the time. And it was just great. But like you said, yes, we had the space program. We had the Russian thing, Chernobyl. We had this whole big thing where what was his name? Skype Prime, or what was he? I don't know. What was he?
Sentinel Prime.
Okay. And so Sentinel Prime, and they had this whole, we saw the, what was the home planet?
Cybertron.
Thank you. Cybertron, we saw that. That was pretty good, but it just, it kind of gave me a little, what was the movie we really hated?
Which one, Kat?
I can't think of anything today. The Skyline. You know the end of Skyline with that ship? They had all the aliens humping each other, and it was the redhead, bluehead. That's kind of what Cybertron looked to me when the movie started off, and I was just like, you know what? I'm a little... But anyway, so Cybertron...
You're letting them off easy. I thought you were going to quote the event, because when they started bringing the planet in, you know,
no,
right...
No, I
Earth
started thinking
orbit.
About the season finale of Superman, I mean, Smallville, and I was just like, you know what? You know I have problems. I just went on a rant about the problems with bringing another planet that close to Earth. This is pissing. What is this movie? Why is this movie
happening? At least Sentinel Prime's hair blowing in the wind. See, that would have been totally.
No, because you had two. You had a big Einstein robot in the sky, a transformer, and a little baby one. What were those? Are those a canon transformers? Who were they?
You know what? I think they might have been at least the big one. It's starting to kind of come back to me. I think there was an old Einstein one, maybe in the movie. He is seeming familiar, but I don't remember there being
the
two.
Fact that you're saying that it is canon, you should have saw my face. It was like, bitch, please.
Yeah, that is okay. But I don't remember there being like a big one and a little one. I don't know what was up with that.
You didn't have the two homeboy Transformers.
Yeah,
I missed them. They didn't have the lady ones on the bicycles.
I have missed it with RC and crew. I really wanted to see them. I want to see more of them in the movie in two, and I haven't seen them since, so that was too bad. Now, I also agree with you that the effects were better in this film. You could tell that they were really hammering out. So the effects were really quite spectacular in this film.
After an hour of it, you're just like, God, would you stop?
I will say that my favorite effect scene in this one, which it seemed blatantly ripped off from Matrix Reloaded when we're back on the highway, right? The crew is trying
Exactly.
Well, that's the only one that's really distinct. When you think of all the other effects in this film, you know, with the exception of the transportation of Cybertron, which we just seen in the event. You know, when the event co-ops your finale, that's a sign of not a great film you're putting out.
Wait a second. The event.
Yeah, remember the planet showing up at the end. They beamed the planet in the event. That's how the event ended. Hello.
So, are you telling me that you watched the event?
The finale, yeah.
You're telling me that you watched the event because you said the event and I was thinking flash forward.
No, look, we had this discussion already, all right? I said I had to see how it ended.
You know what?
But look, can we stay on topic, please? So.
Always like, you know, I'm never going to watch this. And then you go off and watch stuff. I don't even know what to think about that.
I thought you were going to ask me about it. All right, listen. Anyhow.
I thought we were done with the event and now you keep bringing up the event and it's just weird. It's weird. It's the awkward thing in the room right now.
You know what? Are you going to let me finish, please? I'm trying to talk about the one thing that I actually liked about the film, please.
Is this Charles doing? Did he do this?
Do what?
He watched the event.
Oh, my God. Are you back on the event? All right. Anyhow. So they're trying to get Sentinel Prime, who was for some reason an electric truck. What? Oh, how do they pick what these things are transforming into? Megatron. How is Megatron like an oil tanker, a tank rig from Mad Max? How did that?
robe on his head. He kept messing with the dirty tarp or whatever it was. I didn't understand it. It really bothered me.
So the effect that I like, the only scene that I like is, okay, they're making the run down the street. They got Sentinel Prime on the front. They're like on the LA, you know, the highway or whatever, and they're driving. It's and totally of course, the two SUV, you know, bad guys start chasing them, and they transform, and they're running down the road. And you got Bumblebee, and he's flattened out, and he's firing missiles all over the place. And you got Turturro and his buddy, you know, they're trying to get away in the car. And this is the scene where the debris and the bridge stuff, you know, falls down on the street. And Bumblebee jumps up and transforms. Now, I had always wondered what would be like, you know, what does it feel like when you're in the car and it transforms? So he jumps up. As he's transforming, Witwicky flies out of him.
Right? I know. That was great.
Witwicky's screaming and he's flying. But the look, I mean, just the whole, the lighting and the realism of the motion. He's swatting away like a transmission that was about to hit with Wiki, you know, in the midst of the transfer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was
beautiful. Good. And then it comes back around him, you know, and drops again.
And he's screaming like a girl. And that was a beautiful scene. That was beautiful. But I saw it in a commercial, and that's all I needed to see. I didn't need to go.
Well, I'm just trying to give them props where, you know, where it was due.
The Chernobyl digging scene was pretty good. I just thought it was really good because that's the first time we see the rotating grinding machine grinding to the floor and through the building and stuff like that. So I thought that was really good as well.
I liked seeing that on the skyscraper when it was tearing up the skyscraper. I thought, you know, that was a new thing.
But I was done at that point.
To mix that in, like those, and we're picking these out because they are the most distinctive effects from the movie. The quote highlight, or like the main battle scenes, was a lot of stuff that we had seen before. It's just clanking robots falling, and when they get to fighting, on one hand you got to appreciate the artistry of the speed of what it is that you're seeing, you know, the battles and stuff's moving around. But the problem is when you're watching the film, it's hard to tell, you know, whose arm just got ripped off or who's fighting who. It's just this blur of kinetic, you know, robot mayhem. And when you're watching a fight, you kind of want to know who to root for. You know, it's like, oh, my guy's winning, or, ooh, that was a good uppercut. But when you can't even tell what's an arm, you know, and stuff's just flailing around. And
that's why I quit caring. The timing of Optimus Prime's entrance and everything, just, it was just too, what's the word we're looking for, pre-programmed, or it's like, you know, he's not going to come in until the very last second to make his hero fight at the end.
And if he was delayed for some heroic reason, that would have also gone quite a bit farther. I think we should not put wings on Optimus anymore. Let's just from now on, no more wings on Optimus Prime. Remember the last film? They had to tear up the old SR-71 guy. They put the big jets on him. He flew for like 30 seconds and then got shot out of the air. This film, he jumps in the back of the truck, puts on his cool jetpack, flies for 45 seconds and gets stuck on a piece of wire. Yeah, and all his boys are getting killed.
Ridiculous. I was like, oh, so, and it was typical that he came in at the last minute when everybody needed the help, and he was doing his little sweeping wipes and leg swipes and doo-doo and all, and I was just like, wow, when is this going to end? Why is this happening to me? Someone hates me. I'm seeing the wrong film. I'm going to commit suicide or tear this damn theater up because this is horrible. And then at the end, they had nerve to try to put some more scenes after the credits. You know what? I was walking out. I was out. I was like, you know what? I don't care what y'all put after those credits. I don't care if you have naked anybody. I don't care. I'm out. So I didn't see anything.
Okay. All right. Now, let me get back to the people.
Why do you want to go back to the people?
Because I forgot. I forgot something.
Okay.
Now, in terms of good quote casting, like I said, they had the material all around this film. It's like the pieces were there to make a good story, to make a good movie. The effects, the casting, all right. What I was kind of, you know, when I saw him, I got excited that, all right, Patrick Dempsey is going to bring some quality in here.
Who is Patrick Dempsey?
Patrick Dempsey is that guy from Grey's Anatomy. I've seen him before. I know he can act. So when he came in and he was supposed to be the dashing, you know, evil guy, I was going, oh, now this is going to be interesting, right? This is going to be cool. No. Dempsey's, and the guy he was playing, his guy's Dylan, was Dempsey's Dylan was the weakest villain I've ever seen. Now, I know it's hard to man up when you're up against, like, 35-foot-tall robots, but remember the scene where Wiki is trying to make a getaway in his girlfriend's car? You know, they're getting, well, I'm taking my girl and I'm getting out of here. And, you know, and he transforms and kicks him out and throws him down in the turnabout. Mm-hmm. And Dempsey comes out and goes, oh, you didn't know that we've known the Transformers even longer than you, Witwicky. You know, and he starts his little monologue, right?
Right,
his,
and everybody in the background is nodding knowingly, and it's ridiculous.
So his girl's about to get probed in the in the Mercedes. His thugs have Witwicky there, and Dempsey walks up with his swagger, and you're ready. You're like, all right, here comes the big evil man, Deck, right? He's going to deck him across the face because he's the evil guy. And, of course, that's what all evil guys do when the thugs have, you know, our hero, right?
Right.
So I'm leaning in. Dempsey goes back. He slaps him. Dempsey slapped Witwicky, and it wasn't even like a, you know, it wasn't a good slap. It was kind of like a, I challenge you to a duel, you know, and it was kind of elbows in. I said, this is horrible. I mean, it was just, he couldn't even do the slap right. See, people, you think I'm crazy. Go back and watch it. You'd be like, oh, Christ, that is ridiculous. It is just
it
like
was
this.
Pretty ridiculous.
Take that, Witwicky. Oh, you would fall to the mighty Transformers now. Oh, man. And so, it was Dempsey, come on. I know you can act. What was going on in this film? It's just like, oh. So
I wanted to like this one so bad. I don't understand.
I don't
what happened.
Now what? So I'm trying to find. Okay, so what really bothered me also about the film is the first time that I saw it. When
wow.
The,
how? Okay. Wow. I can't believe you did it.
I'm trying because I was trying to be fair. I said maybe I was tired. Maybe I was in a bad mood. Maybe there's a plot point that I missed that tied this stuff together. Because what I saw just looked like, you know, a kind of a clanking mess. The story didn't fit. The characters weren't that interesting. The robots I couldn't connect with. That it just felt like a bunch of stuff being thrown at me. So I said, okay, I'm going to go back again a second time, and I'm going to watch it to see if there's something that I've missed. And no, that didn't happen. But here's what really bothered me. At the end of the first movie, when the credits began to roll, people in the audience, some of the people, started to applaud.
What?
And at that point, you start going, am I crazy? Have I lost my... Because I'm sitting there and I'm trying to... I'm trying to figure out why these people are applauding. Now, I will agree, the special effects were quite spectacular.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to give you that.
There were moments with Wash and Totoro that I'm telling you, that by itself was freaking hilarious.
Goggles.
I'm sorry. That was the old me. That was hilarious, okay? That was why they couldn't give Shang? Why they wouldn't let Shang even fire a bullet, though? He had those two sweet guns out on laser beam. He could have at least got a shot up. I let all that go. I don't know. I can't tell why people were applauding for this film.
I don't know either. It was just too much. And I always take my niece and my nephews to see Transformers because, you know, it's a thing with us now. And I don't even know if I want to. I mean, because, yeah, they took the two, racist robots out or the people who, whatever, the...
Yeah, the gold tooth having to
Yeah, the ghetto robots out, which, you know, I kind of missed them. I kind of missed them.
We don't do much reading. Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah. It's just like I wanted them. I wanted some other stuff. And I don't know. It was too long. And everything was just a disconnected mess to me. But I don't know how they'd respond. I wonder if they'd like it. You know, if they'd be the people that'll clap at the end. In my theater, nobody was clapping. And I should have known when I got a free ticket, when I paid for my ticket, it's like, oh, you have a free ticket. I was just like, what? And then I was like...
It was almost like an apology.
Yeah, I was like, I should have known then that something was going to go wrong. And it was like, we're going to give you your money back now.
Wait, was it before you went in? They gave you the free ticket before
you went in? Yeah, because you got like a rewards card or something. I guess I had gotten enough points or something to get a ticket. But it was just like, yeah, I want to see Transformers 3D. And, you get a free ticket. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, and I saw it in 3D too, both times. So I saw the full effect of what the movie was, and I said, you know, I didn't miss anything there. Nimoy, let's talk about the voice casting of Nimoy as Sentinel Prime. What'd you think?
Leonard Nimoy. I didn't know it was him at first.
Really? Oh,
Then I heard something. I was just like, hey, that sounds like Leonard Nimoy. And then they took him away so fast that I didn't really get a chance to really tell if it was Leonard Nimoy. But well, I don't care.
He did the line. You know, he did the line in the middle of the battle on the building top where he said, the needs of the one or the needs of the many.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and of course, the foreshadowing of the shot of Spock on TV. Remember the robot?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like I said, little cute. The stunt casting was really interesting in this. I mean, between Buzz and Nimoy.
They had a lot of great casting. They just tried to do too much at once. We had so many locations. We had like three or four storylines, not even an A and a B. They were like a C and a D. They had the lady bureaucrat that was walking around like, what is she from? Where's the person from last time that was talking all the crap? Who are you? Why are you talking? And it's just, I didn't understand a lot of things that I wanted to like this. I wanted to feel awesome. And it just, it didn't hit it for me.
No, it just seemed like an incoherent kind of mess. And that's disappointing.
It is, because I could tolerate a lot of bad movies, a lot of bad TV shows. Look, I watched every season of Earth Final Conflict, so I can tolerate.
Oh, my.
I'm a special breed. So
you are special, yes.
Right. So, you know, I have patience. So when I say something's bad, man, it's rough. And it's hard to say it because I love Bay films, but lots of people won't give Bay a chance, you know, and I'm a Bay apologist, I know, but not here, son.
No. I respect his explosive art. Okay. A lot of times he, whether it's Bad Boys or all the, his explosions are punctuated. They seem to, you know, really fit in with the story. Or quote story. I just go for the comic book nature of what it is. But in the past, at least he's kind of halfway hung the stuff together. This time,
just wasn't fun. It was not fun. The other ones were fun. They were wild. It was an adventure. This one was, you know, depressing from, you know, the NASA program to Witwicky not having a job. And then, you know, these people don't need jobs. We're just going to make all of them slaves. And then he say the needs of the
many
outweigh the needs of the few. Well, it's fewer damn Transformers on the damn Earth and it's many more humans. So I didn't understand what he was talking about.
Oh, you know, they're going to enslave humans to somehow work in space. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I don't even understand that. Well, the human is the resource that we need to blah, blah. And I said, is this the Matrix? I don't know. It's too much. It was just too much.
Yeah.
And I did not have fun. And I was all ready to have fun. And so you're supposed to throw on your summer goggles, like Eric said. And, you're just supposed to just let it happen. And I did that. And it was just... It wasn't SG-1, it was SGU.
Well, it wasn't that bad, but still.
Okay, fine.
So, you think they're going to make a fourth one?
I want to write a letter to tell them to stop. I think we should stop now, while we're ahead, and while we're not going direct to Blu-ray.
I
don't think I'm going to another one. Unless my niece and nephews beg me, but I'm not, because I usually see it first to screen it to make sure it's not bad and then take them. I don't know. Were you a fan of Torchwood all the way through?
Here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
Torchwood, the series from the start, had good parts and had bad parts. What I did not like about Torchwood, and was consistent throughout the television series, it was kind of hammy, all right? I cannot quite describe it. There is a slight corniness to it that was strangely not in Doctor Who. And I can't quite put my finger on it. I can't quite describe it. And the craziest thing is, my absolute favorite Torchwood is Children of Earth. All right, that to me was the pinnacle of what Torchwood was as a series. I loved Children of Earth. Children Man? Children Earth. Anyway, I love that one. And it didn't have it. That was the only time. I mean, it was serious. It was scary. It was dark.
They killed Yanto, so I can't sign off on that being my favorite because that pissed me off.
I'm
still bitter about it.
I'm just saying, you know, in terms of, you know, like, you know, plausible peril, the darkness, in terms of the story was kicking, in terms of the dilemma that they were in. Oh, man, Children of Earth, it was just beautifully well executed and constructed and all of that. But all of the other ones, you know, were kind of hit and miss, and they always had a slightly kind of like a corny edge to it, where it's something about the comedic timing that's a little off, and it kind of bothered me. So I have seen all the Torchwood. I watched the whole series. There's some I really, really like. There's some that kind of bothered me, but I enjoy it. I'll put it that way. I do enjoy it.
Okay. I enjoyed it at first, and Captain Jack wasn't as fun as he was on Doctor Who. That bothered me a little bit. The corniness, I'm not really sure what you mean, because to me, I just thought Torchwood was extremely depressing. It was over serious, and I did not really care about the characters that much, and it just wasn't what I thought I signed up for, and so I had stopped watching it. I watched most of it. I maybe stopped 2 episodes shy of the last full season. I saw Children of Earth, really liked it, thought it was really good. I really just, the killing of Yanto really upset me because it was so unnecessary, like Wash dying and Firefly really pissed me off because it was just like, it was obvious, you know, searching for tear jerks, you know what I'm saying? And I just cannot stand when writing is that lazy and that obvious. And
we really like that character. I mean, come on.
Oh, everybody really likes this character. Let's kill him. Woo. Like that. You're being a jerk. You know, don't do that.
Yeah.
So we know that there's a lot of jerk writing on Torchwood, but for some reason I am a masochist, I guess. And I keep going back and letting Russell T. Davies spank me, and I'm watching the show again.
Okay.
So, spank me, daddy.
All right. So, you want to go into the pilot then?
Let's do that.
In the new series.
And guys, this won't be the first time we talk about Torchwood. I know I talked with Terry and Will, and they wanted to talk about Torchwood and Jeff, and we'll, you know, talk about it some other time as well, and you guys can join in. So, just me and Carl getting through the initial stuff of it. So I'm very excited about this premiere. Been waiting on it for a long time. The actors, you got Bill Pullman, Mekhi Phifer. Did not think that those names would be pulled into a project like this.
Pretty surprising, I agree.
Very surprising. I was a little iffy about Reese and what's her name? The wife returning. What's her name? Rebecca? I don't have a list here. What was the lady's name?
Eve?
The Torchwood with Eve.
Oh, Gwen.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm sorry.
Right. Uh-huh.
Gwen, I wasn't that much of a fan of her. And to be fair, I always thought Reese was a red shirt, and I thought he was going to die early on. So I'm really surprised that he made it so far, honestly. They have a little baby now. And I just thought that this premiere was very, very good. It held my attention. I mean, you had to suspend belief on a lot of the stuff. But I thought it was... Somebody said, I think maybe in an IO9 article, that this show isn't a show about things, it's a show about ideas, and the idea of no one ever dying and population, overpopulation, resources not being available to everybody. What would it be like? What would it look like? How would this happen? I think they're going to deal with that in a way that only Torchwood can, and it's going to be depressing. I think a lot of the characters are going to die off. I know one of the family with Gwen, Reese, or the baby, one of those guys are going to die. I think at the end, I predict that a lot of the people who are now zombies or the undead or whatever, that they're going to just drop dead at the end, you know, unceremoniously, and we're just going to get, you know, fade to black, some bullshit like that. But I don't know, but for some reason now I just think it's I don't know, the setup is so good. It feels like X-Files to me, and it's a little exciting.
Yeah, I like I said, it feels different than Doctor Who. And considering that, you know, Russell Davies is behind them both, I'm shocked at how different the two series, especially, you know, with the Harkness crossover. I thought there would be a little bit more similarity in terms of feel between the two. But I like how Davies is able to create really unique dilemmas and challenges. It's what science fiction is supposed to be about. You know, I'm always going into this stuff. They create these really, really unique scenarios that can only be handled in the world of science fiction. And that's why I get excited. That's why I really like Doctor Who. And that's why I like the potential of what Torchwood could be. Yep, the dilemma of people not dying is going to be very interesting. The second coming of Pullman here as some sort of a flim flam, you know, faith leader or something.
A pedophile? Gross.
What?
He's
what?
A pedophile. A pedophile murderer.
What he's going to become in the film, because he's supposed to be redeemed now and leader of the new zombies or I don't know.
Oh, so just, you read ahead. That's
no, that's in the pre. No, I'm just guessing. That's what I saw from the previews.
Oh, the previews, you know, for this coming week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
That was in the end.
That's a little like the event, isn't it? I mean, flash forward. Sorry.
Well, yeah, it's got a little of that happening there.
I'm still mad at you about watching the event finale. We're going to talk later.
We have talked already. That's why I knew what the event was. Remember? We said we didn't know what the event was. We found out what the event. Anyway.
I don't know what the event is. I still don't know what the event is.
Okay. Well, anyway. It's a good setup. It's a good setup. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. I am absolutely going to watch it. I am excited that Mekhi Phifer and
he's grumpy, isn't he?
Yeah, and he was a little over the top with his injury.
Are you kidding me? I thought he was perfect.
He was a little over the top.
It was hilarious.
He was injured Rex
hobbling around on the crutch, popping pills, talking crap about whales. It was great.
About the tolls.
It was so great. He's just so grumpy, and sometimes you like grumpy men because you just, no matter what you do, you're just never going to please them, so you don't try, so you just do stuff to piss them off. That's speaking. Okay, anyway.
Okay, a little insight, ladies and gentlemen. This is my cat.
I liked a little too how, like you said before, Torchwood feels really divorced from the Doctor Whoverse. I don't know how the Whoverse, like, can you imagine some Cybermen walking into this? Can you imagine the Daleks or, you know, one of the main baddies on Doctor Who walking into this? They don't feel right here. Nope. This feels more like X-Files. This feels more adult, more, I'll say it again, sober. And it feels, you know, for science fiction, and it just feels like you're just not going to see any crazy rubber aliens with foreheads or anything like that on here. It just seems like it just will not fit. And I kind of like that.
Well, it does seem a little more subtle than Doctor Who. But like I said, I still prefer Doctor Who to Torchwood. I don't know if it's the boldness of what they're doing with aliens and the technology and whatnot, but it's different, and I'm respecting the difference, and I'm intrigued by the setup that they've got so far. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with. Oh, thank God, Eureka's back! Finally, Eureka.
That's music plays. I love that little happy music. It just, it's back. Still no Nathan Stark, but, you know, whatever.
I had forgotten he was on the series.
No, shut your mouth. Never forget.
Yeah, it was good to see the gang again. I very much enjoyed the return of the crew and their heavy-handed attempt to trick us about the wedding. That was
ridiculous.
Just, That was a little much for the Eureka crew. But hey, it was
because when he went in, I was like, aren't you not supposed to see the bride before the wedding? What are we doing? How are we doing this? Oh, Sheriff Andy and the house is getting married. And it made me think that, you know, she turned him down, but you know, we're having Felicia Day come to the Eurekaverse. And I was thinking, well, what if Sarah becomes, you know, a person like Andromeda? And that's Felicia Day, and her and Andy are gonna get it on.
Oh, the cyborg mambo there. Yeah.
But I don't know, because I think she's coming on as a scientist, so that's out of the, you know, that's, I don't think that's a correct prediction, but it would be great to see Sarah as an avatar or whatever you call her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be fun. That'll be fun. The pilot story was funny and silly and interesting. I liked it. It was good to see the crew together still. I am glad that it has been so long. Who are our cast again? I'm forgetting.
Fargo and Zane got trapped in the rocket.
Was that? Oh yeah. Oh.
And into space. Zane, you know, I don't care for his character, but he seemed a little bit more interesting in this premiere, and actually cute. For a change, it usually just seems like I don't even have a word. I did not like him, didn't care for him. I want them to kill him off.
Hopefully, oh, stop.
We'll care for him a little bit and they will kill him off. And, you know, I can be, you know,
don't kill off Zane. Really,
because, you know, maybe they'll bring back Nathan Stark. But anyway, Allison and Jack had a little, I guess, tiff.
It was all that career stuff getting in there.
I liked her seeing her as acting director again. It was felt like old times.
Yeah, that seemed right.
It did, because everybody just listened to her with no question. It was just like she gave orders, things happened, and I liked it.
Well, you know, I'm always a fan of Deacon, you know, Henry Deacon.
Oh, yeah.
It's always good to see. And I'm so glad that his girl is still alive, because, you know, he was having some problems with his ladies.
Yeah.
Getting killed off in one or two episodes.
And then come back in a spaceship as an alien.
Or as a spaceship. Oh, yes.
Yes. Right, I'm sorry.
So I kind of like.
I don't feel too good about their relationship, because she kind of doesn't do anything. She's just hanging around, like making pasta.
Oh, come on, she's doing science.
I think they're gonna, And on Eureka, doing science is like making pasta, and she's making the pasta, and I think he's gonna walk in, and she's gonna do it. We're gonna have to do Dark Henry all over again. I'm tired of it. It's too safe. It's too safe. It's too boring. You see them. There's nothing going on. They're gonna break up. She's gonna lose her memory. Something's gonna go wrong. I know it.
Maybe she's a robot. See, now that would be awesome.
That's tiresome. That's tiresome, dude.
She could be a robot. Yeah, well, I hope she makes it. I'm just happy to see poor scientist finally getting a girl. It's just always a good thing to see. so rare. Always a good thing.
We had horses on Eureka, which was weird.
There were horses. That was
Andy said he's on a horse. That was funny.
That was very funny. Yes, you got that.
It was regular Eureka stuff. But at the end, we had Ming-Na rolling up on the scene.
Hey, all right.
Yeah.
She's
like gonna do, you know, when they always have the person come in and question what you're doing and be a bitch, and then it's gonna be all okay in the end. We didn't have that last season, but we're gonna have that this season. So, because they, you know, I guess alternate seasons with having bureaucrats interfere into things. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, they did it with Stargate, so of course you got to do it here. So anytime the scientists get going, there's got to be some, you know, legal bureaucrats messing with them.
So irresponsible of them to do, really.
What, you mean launching a rocket and then, you know, detonating stuff in space?
And scraping the ISS. And,
they need room to explore their scientific endeavors. I don't see what the problem is.
I agree with you. Honestly, I really do. It's like, what is the problem? We're how you are so awesome and have iPads. So shut the F up. But, you know, people don't like,
we'll just rewrite the whole timeline. So, you know, you won't be in there. Just how we roll.
Yeah. But, so we'll see. But I just don't feel like going through a whole power struggle again. I just want the episodes to be fun and light like they usually are, but you know, Ming-Na, she's not typecast at all.
No.
It's like I saw her come in. She's gonna be questioning authority and stuff like that. I was like, oh god, again.
You're rolling Ironsides as her sidekick.
Dude, really? You know, that's what Transformers missed. They were missing. They missed Michael Ironside. They needed that.
I think he's the only one missing. Yeah.
Yeah. They, if they had had him, it would have been the thing.
It. Yeah. That. Well. Yeah. And how about Warehouse? Warehouse.
I didn't see that yet. I'm just really not motivated to watch it. Is it good?
Well, yeah, it's actually pretty good. You should watch it.
What about Alphas?
Alphas. You didn't see it?
No.
Well, it is a new show on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Wow.
I didn't like it that much. I actually fell asleep halfway into it.
Wow.
And then I tried to watch it again, and I watched it from the middle to the end. I'm going to give them a couple more shows, a couple more episodes.
You know what? I'm not. You can probably watch that whole thing like you did the event and come telling me, ooh, yeah, I love the season finale.
I did not say I love the season finale.
I can't believe you. No loyalty at all.
Listen.
Okay, not even loyalty. That's not it, like keeping your word, going back on your word, or being hypocritical. What is this with the event?
I miss whole chunks in the middle. I just wanted to see how it ended.
How did it end?
Oh, well, the event was the aliens brought their world, transported it into...
Who were the aliens?
What do you mean, who the aliens?
Who were the aliens?
They were the human...
The people that were packed off into...
Yes, right.
Oh, yeah. So they weren't just enhanced aliens or mutant aliens. I mean, mutant humans. They were actual aliens.
Yeah, they were extraterrestrials. Yeah. So,
was being human looking? How did that they explain that?
I think they said something like they had been here on Earth first or something. I don't know if we're like supposedly genetic descendants or I don't remember that part maybe that was one of some of the episodes I missed. But the point is,
they brought Cybertron into our.
They beamed it right into Earth orbit, and so now their world is orbiting our world, and they look like they were going to try to take over Earth. Is how the series ended. How this looked like it. Yeah. So, yeah, I
have my bitch. Please look. Again.
Well, see, that's the way all bad guys apparently are threatening the planet. They don't take over anymore. They just bring their worlds here.
Can we get some physicists to explain why that's just ridiculous? Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of bringing the planet into Earth. It's ridiculous.
They did it for you, Kat. You should have known.
It infuriates me. It doesn't even make sense, and I don't even know the mechanics of it, and I just look at it, and it doesn't make sense.
Well, technically, they only brought, like, a quarter of Cybertron
before
it got flushed back through the space gate, you know, flush.
Yeah, folks. That was our, updates on what we've seen so far. Anything else good out there, Carl?
That's it for now.
Okay. Well, that's our show for now. We'll have something a little bit more organized, I guess.
It wasn't us. It was Transformers that was disorganized. You see, you're just still getting that echo from trying to describe it. If you just sit down and you try to tell people what the story was like, and you just
get
all
crazy.
It makes me tired.
We love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. 773-33. You know what? That crazy person called me again and left a message.
What?
Yeah. Let's finish the show and I'll tell you about it later. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet, scifipartyline. Facebook.com/scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Well, something on a more positive tip. Wow, that sound a little 1991.
You're funky fresh, girl.
Yeah, I know. Funky fresh, dressed to impress, ready to party. Okay, anyway. that's getting cut out, you know.
You don't want her to hear your cross colors? Come on, girl.
I still got some in my closet. They
Oh, I know. You got the eight ball. You got the big eight ball jacket.
I got the eight ball jacket.
Good.
Okay. Hard work. It looks like the people who worked on it did very hard work. It's very good, but not interested. Sorry.
Yeah.
So,
You're talking about the app.
Yeah, the app. The iPhone app. Right. Don't know if it's on Android. Get an iPhone. No, I'm.
But, harsh.
I'm gonna totally edit that out.
End of line.